Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dee Dee Trotter, Olympic gold medalist and three-time Olympian, and you're listening to TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor.
Welcome to another exciting edition of TaylorMade Sports with yours truly, Kevin Taylor, coming to you from my hometown, the capital city of Georgia, of Atlanta. Well, of course, my friends, you know the motto of the show. It is we're talking sports from Atlanta and around the country. So get ready for the next 30 minutes as we get you caught up on all things sports in Atlanta and from here, there, and almost everywhere. Make sure that you keep up with me anytime, of course, on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is at KevinTaylor98. Again, that's KevinTaylor98 is where you'll be able to find me. And, of course, it's always great to hear from you, no matter where you are, where you're listening to the program. It's always good to reach out because I always enjoy meeting new people, having new friends, as well as those who listen to the program, because, of course, this program is for you, and I enjoy bringing it to you, and it's just a lot of fun because Atlanta has so much to offer with sports, because right now we have football season that's basically getting underway. The Falcons are still in preseason, but there's a lot of fanfare around that. Last season for the Georgia Dome. Also, you've got UGA, because according to them, they run the state in football, and a new era will be taking shape inside the Georgia Dome, as a matter of fact, on September 3rd when the Bulldogs take on North Carolina. So a lot will be around that game as we go into the next coming weeks, as well as we've got Georgia Tech. They will be beginning their season over in Dublin, Ireland, against Boston College. So that is going to be a tremendous atmosphere there as well. So a lot is going to be going into the next couple of weeks as we get ready for September and the start of football season. And, of course, we cannot forget about Georgia State. That's right, Georgia State is coming off of a bowl season in the Cure Bowl. So not a lot of people expected them to get to a bowl last season, but they were able to do it. And they kick off their season coming up next Friday, September 2nd, inside the Georgia Dome. So, hey, the Georgia Dome is going to be the place to be for the final season of the Georgia Dome. And it's the last season of Turner Field. September will begin the countdown. Well, the countdown has already begun. It was already the countdown when the season started, actually, for the end of the Turner Field portion of the Braves season, the home portion. But I think it will be more so as we go into September. The last game will be, of course, the first Sunday in October against Detroit, with the Braves series against Detroit. But at the same time, it's the last season there. You've got some great prospects. Dansby Swanson is now up for the team. So a lot is going on right now in Atlanta. Of course, you have some Georgia ties in the Olympics. So just a lot of fun right now covering Atlanta sports. And thank you so much for being a part of the show. And, of course, again, you can reach out to me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at KevinTaylor98. Also, on this program, we're going to recap the Atlanta Falcons' win in preseason against the Cleveland Browns. Also, preview their game this week against Miami. You'll hear comments from head coach Dan Quinn along with quarterback Matt Ryan. Also, we'll be previewing Georgia's game against you'll be previewing Georgia's game against North Carolina, as well as Georgia State as they prepare for Ball State. And also we'll talk a little Braves baseball on this edition of the program. So thank you so much for being a part of the show this week. So let's get it started, all right? And the Atlanta Falcons, like I told you, hey, they're getting ready to face Miami down in Orlando. Is week three of the preseason. And, of course, a lot of people say that week three of the preseason is like the dress rehearsal. You got the starters playing more, as well as you've got just overall work that's being done to kind of prepare for the regular season in week one, the final phase, I guess, of the game plan. And the players who will be an integral part of the game plan will be going into this game here. So we'll see how that goes. And in the last game against Cleveland, the Falcons, actually, their offense recorded almost 500 yards of total offense, while the defense, hey, they shut out the Browns in the second half to pull out their second win of the preseason. The Falcons are 2-0, of course, and that's a good sign as they get ready for the regular season. The Falcons' offense recorded a total of 498 yards, and that's the second straight week that the offense has recorded 300-plus yards of total offense. The team's high for a number of yards gained in a game is 587, and that was versus the St. Louis Cardinals way back in 1980. In week 8 of the 2015 season, the Falcons recorded 496 total yards, and that was against Tampa Bay, which was a season high. The team also recorded 224 yards rushing on the night, and the running game has just been great in the preseason. I got to give it to the running backs, and you've got a great tandem of Devontae Freeman. You've got Tevin Coleman. You've got Wiles in the backfield. You've got Tarik Ward. So just an abundance back there in the backfield that the Falcons can choose from and take some of the load off of Matt Ryan in that passing game. But it does open up the passing game as well. The first team offense started the game off with a 9-play, 71-yard drive, and that was capped off with a 19-yard touchdown run by Devontae Freeman. Freeman finished the game with 4 carries for 42 yards, an average of 10.5 yards per carry. Last season, he earned his first Pro Bowl selection after rushing for just over 1,000 yards with 11 touchdowns, and added 578 yards on 73 catches for 3 scores. So Devontae Freeman is really picking up from where he left off last season. Quarterback Matt Ryan finished the night 6 of 11 with 78 yards and a 77 quarterback rating. Last season, Ryan completed 407 of 614 pass attempts, and that was about a 66% average there for about a little over 4,500 yards on the season and 21 touchdowns, 16 picks, and an 89 quarterback rating. Now, also, quarterback Matt Schaub finished the game 8 of 12 for 78 yards and about an 85 passer rating. Rookie running back Brandon Wiles recorded a 32-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. That run was his second touchdown run of the preseason. Wiles finished the game with 8 carries for 49 yards and an average of 6.1 yards per carry. Now, the defense, hey, they held the Browns to 243 yards total, and that's the second straight game the defense has held their opponent to under 250 total yards. Defensive end Adrian Claiborne recorded his first sack of the preseason and the first sack of the game for the Falcons in the second quarter. Claiborne also recorded 3 total tackles, including 2 tackles for loss. And last season, he played in all 16 games with 4 starts in his first year with the Falcons. And he actually had 15 tackles, 14 solo, with 3 sacks and 1 fumble recovery. So good to have him coming along. And the Falcons really played well against Cleveland. Of course, the big play of the game was RG3 to Terrell Pryor in the first quarter against Desmond Trufant. Very rare you'll see that, but I don't think you'll see that in the regular season. The Falcons are pretty much, as we record this program on Wednesday, August 24th, pretty much down at Orlando right about now. But they're getting ready for their big game on Thursday against the Dolphins as they prepare for week 3 of the preseason. Kickoff is at 8 p.m., and you can catch the game on NBC. So, of course, it's going to be a nationally televised game. Now, of course, people are wondering, why are the Falcons playing in Orlando against Miami? Well, there are two reasons. One is the Dolphins are having a new stadium built. I think it's going to be called the Hard Rock Stadium. And they're putting some finishing touches on that stadium, as well as the Pro Bowl is going to be in Orlando this season. So you're going to have a test run with this preseason game as well. So a couple of things are going to be going into this week. So Falcons are going to be in their test phase, and we'll see how many people respond. And hopefully it's going to be a great turnout down for this preseason game. Now, of course, the Falcons were working hard this past weekend getting ready for this game, and I was at practice this past weekend, and I had a chance to hear from Coach Dan Quinn. And let's start with him. He was actually speaking of what he did not really like so far in the preseason.
I didn't think we were as sharp tackling defensively as we were the first week. And then this week we'll bring a new different style. They'll play a little bit more no huddle and up-tempo offense, so that'll be a good challenge for us as well. Offensively, we want to make sure, can we just own this ball? And that part of our game we're still working on. We're still going to feature the run game like we have been, but I was pleased in that regard last week. Can we continue to build from that?
I also asked Coach Quinn how Dwight Freeney was progressing in the defensive scheme.
Yeah, okay, right now I would say the comfort level is, the arrow is pointing up. We're not where we're going to be all the way yet. With just one exhibition game in, we'll do them a few more in this game, and especially to help him get ready on third down. And that's the real factor that we're hoping he can provide for us. Such an important down. If he can add some value to the team that way, that's really how we're going to try and emphasize him. And we'll do a little bit of that in this game as well.
Now let's hear from quarterback Matt Ryan giving us his assessment of what happened last week against Cleveland and what he expects to happen this week against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job the other night. Obviously got off to a good start, scored on that first drive. I thought our offensive line played really well. We ran the ball effectively the entire game. So it was good. It was good to see some improvement, and that's what we got to do again this week. We got to try and get better, prepare really well this week, and go down to Orlando and play Miami and play them really well. I mean, obviously you want to win. Anytime you go out there and you're going out there to compete, you want to win. So I think that's first and foremost. We talk about that all the time. But we want to go out there and play better than we did, the week before. I mean, that's one of our goals, is continue to get better week in and week out. And I thought we made strides from week one to week two, and hopefully we can do the same this week.
Now, here's what Matt had to say after I asked him about how the success of the running game has opened up opportunities in the passing game.
I thought our run game was effective last week. I thought our offensive line did a really nice job. All of our backs ran the ball really hard, which is really encouraging to see. And that puts a lot of stress on a defense anytime you can run the ball like that. Certainly helps your offensive line and pass protection, and certainly opens up some lanes to throw down the field.
All right, I don't think that you're going to see the same Miami team that was trounced by Dallas in their last preseason game last week. I think Miami will come out very aggressive. I think the Falcons' offense will be playing very aggressive as well. And they're going to take some shots down the field. I really feel that. Now, of course, you're going to see a lot of the first team in this game and on both sides of the ball, as a matter of fact. So I really feel that the Falcons will come out very aggressive, especially on offense and also defense. I believe they're going to get after the quarterback and try to establish a pass rush very effectively. So we're going to probably see that and see how that's working, especially Vic Beasley, as he's still suffering from a shoulder injury, I believe an AC sprain. But we're going to see how effective he may be and if he's going to play a lot of snaps. So we're not sure yet as to if he's going to be playing for an extended amount of time, but I'm pretty sure he will be in there at some point, if not starting. So that's what you can look out for in this week's game against Miami on Thursday night. And again, that game will kick off at 8 p.m. on NBC. It's Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. Now, shifting gears to the college game, Georgia State, with the season opener now less than 2 weeks away, there were a lot of people who braved the heat and humidity last weekend to cheer on the Panthers in their final scrimmage on Saturday at the GSU practice complex. Georgia State hosts Ball State on Friday, September 2nd. That's right, Friday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. inside the Georgia Dome. Head coach Trent Miles was pleased with the effort of his squad after a tough week of practice. He said, "We did some things good offensively and defensively, and we got in some good work on special teams. We were not quite as physical as we wanted to be on the defensive side, but there were a lot fewer mental mistakes and procedural mistakes as well." So Georgia State's getting ready to embark on another season in which I know they want to get back to a bowl bid. Quarterbacks Connor Manning and Aaron Winchester shared most of the reps with the first offense team, and sophomore Emery Scaife is still in the mix as well at quarterback, so no definitive choice has been made there. Winchester did connect with running back Glenn Smith for a 26-yard touchdown pass, while Manning found Todd Boyd for an 11-yard scoring play. And on the two-minute drill, Winchester hit Marquand Green in the corner of the end zone from 16 yards out as Green made an impressive one-handed grab. Now, running back Kyler Neal added a 3-yard scoring run. And working with the backups, Jaquez Parks led a touchdown drive that was capped by a 4-yard scoring run by walk-on Maurice Lunchner. So Georgia State, like I said, getting ready for Ball State inside the Georgia Dome on September 2nd. And now the next day, the Georgia Bulldogs, they'll kick off their season, like I told you earlier, against North Carolina in the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic. And the Bulldogs, hey, they actually had their second scrimmage of their fall camp, and that was last weekend as well. The team got some work between the hedges before lightning actually delayed some of the activities there and forced everyone into the locker room for about 40 minutes, and that was less than an hour into practice. But when they came back out on the field, they got to work on all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And head coach Kirby Smart said the good thing is we got to practice in the rain, which I think is always important. After the delay, the special teams went a bit downhill, kind of got sloppy. But I thought the kids had good energy, and the offense played with basically some good effort there. So it was good to see that. And like I said, they're getting ready for North Carolina. I don't think that it's going to be a easy walk in the park for Georgia in this game. I think North Carolina will come ready to play, but I think Georgia will get the win. And I think the Bulldogs, you're going to see a lot of effort. They're not going to give up because that's not Kirby Smart. If you really want to have a place on that Georgia Bulldogs team, Kirby Smart is not going to take guys who are going to take plays off or give a lackluster effort, that's for sure. But I think North Carolina will come to play, but it's going to be probably a close game, but I think Georgia will pretty much get the nod in that one. Now, actually, you know, from a SIAC perspective, you've got Clark Atlanta on September 3rd taking on Tuskegee. And that is going to be, I think, a good game there. That game will be in Atlanta, and that will be featuring a great matchup, like I said. So make sure to check out ESPN3, and you'll be able to catch that game on September 3rd. So it should be a sellout crowd over the Clark Atlanta University Stadium there as well. So this is going to feature a rematch of the 2015 season opener. The CAU lost on the road. The Panthers will be appearing in a televised game for the second time in two seasons, and kickoff will be at 7 p.m. Like I said, you should be able to catch the game on ESPN3 or the Watch ESPN app. So that should be a pretty good one there. And Tuskegee always has a good fan base, and this year is going to be the same, no doubt about that. Morehouse, they will be taking on Edward Waters down in Jacksonville. That game will also kick off at 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 3rd. So we only have one more weekend in August. And, of course, next week, Monday, it begins game preparation. Wow, can you believe that? Football game preparation already. Unbelievable. It's Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor. Now let's talk a little baseball as Jose Ramirez allowed a hit and a hit batter, but struck out the side of the seventh to get the victory for the Braves over Arizona on Wednesday. Jake Barrett, who's 1-2 now in the season, he took the loss. And Matt Kemp, he came through. He came through and actually put the Braves ahead with a big double. Actually, should have been a triple, but I think they gave him a two-base hit and an error on the right fielder. But he said, "I just feel it was the one pitch that hurt me, and that was to Kemp." That's what Barrett said. "I tried to throw inside and missed away." Jim Johnson pitched the scoreless ninth for his 11th save. Jake Lamb doubled in two runs, and Yasmany Tomas actually singled in two in Arizona's 4-run third. Lamb also doubled in the eighth, breaking out of a 2-for-47 slump. Tomas left the game in the eighth with mid-back stiffness. But the Braves starter Rob Whalen held Arizona hitless through two-thirds innings, but never made it out of the third. With two outs, he walked three batters, the last two on four counts to load the bases for Tomas. After the two-run single, Whalen hit Wellington Castillo to load them again and bring up Lamb, who laced a two-run ground rule double into the Braves' bullpen down the right field line, and Arizona led 4-2. That was it for Whalen in his fifth major league start. The Braves, who scored five in the first inning in Monday night's 9-8 loss, scored two in the first on Tuesday, and Arizona starter Archie Bradley was fortunate it wasn't more. Mick Markakis singled in one run, and Tyler Flowers doubled in another. Jace Peterson walked to load the bases, but Dansby Swanson struck out looking to end the threat. Adonis Garcia doubled to start the fourth, took third on a ground out, and scored on Kemp's fly out to center to slice the Diamondbacks' lead to 4-3. The Braves loaded the bases with one out in the third, but failed to score. And in all, the Braves actually stranded eight runners in the first three innings. Freddie Freeman of the Braves went 0-3 to snap an 11-game hitting streak, and Freddie has been on a tear. But the Braves do get the win on Tuesday night in Game 2 of that four-game series. And, of course, Game 3 will be tonight. As like I said, we record this program on Wednesday, August 24th. It is going to be tonight, and the first pitch will be at 9:40. So that's going to be Eastern time. And let me tell you who the matchup is going to be, the pitching matchups. Right-hander Julio Teheran, who's the Braves ace, he's got a 4.89 ERA, but he gets to start in the third game of the four-game series. Teheran was the last Braves starter to go more than six innings on July 17th. But for the Diamondbacks, it's going to be a tough challenge. Zach Greinke, who's 11-4 with a 4.21, makes his first home start since June 28th. He allowed two runs in seven innings in his last start at San Diego, but got no decision. So Julio Teheran against Zach Greinke. You got ace versus ace. Oh, yeah. That should be a good one. That should be good. And if I had to really choose a side, who would it be? Would it be the Braves, maybe? Would it be Arizona, even though they're putting their ace on the mound? I'm going to go. I got to go home team. I got to go home team here. I mean, my home team. And that's the Braves. I think the Atlanta Braves, they're playing some confident baseball. But I think they'll play, they might play sluggish to start the game. But I think that as the time goes on, if they can get to Greinke and get him out of the game, I think that they would have a chance to win this one. Just my opinion. Just my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see. But I think the Braves could come away with a win here and at least take three out of the four against the Diamondbacks. But trust me, Wednesday's game will be tough. That is for sure. Teheran comes into this game with a 3-9 record, and I'm sorry, 2.90 ERA. But like I said, you've got ace versus ace. And actually, Teheran is 3-1 with a 2.12 ERA against Arizona. So that could bode well in his favor. Yeah. So this might be a good try for the Braves to actually get a win and get some even more confidence as they go into the final stretch of the season. The Braves, they did beat the Diamondbacks, like I told you, on Tuesday, 7-4. And they will round out the series on Thursday against the Diamondbacks at 9:40 Eastern. And then they go to San Francisco for a weekend series against the Giants. And Friday's game is at 10:15 Eastern. Saturday, 9:05 Eastern. Sunday is at 4:05 before they return home. And that will be on Tuesday. So good to see the Braves. At least trying to gain some confidence after they were in a slide. Boy, oh boy, I think they lost like seven straight. Wow, you know, they're bouncing back. And good to see that. I think that sometimes they still have some lapses, but for the most part, this is a young team. They've got Dansby Swanson, who they've called up, who I think that is going to be, of course, the future of this franchise. You can tell that. And I think that they are making some impact. So we'll watch out and see what the Braves do as they go into the home stretch of their season going into September. So look for the Braves to be, of course, making some more moves as the off-season fastly approaches for this team. And the Braves will return home on Tuesday to face the San Diego Padres to start a series with them next week. All right, it's still Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor, and hopefully, were you like me? Did you catch a lot of the Olympics? You know, I love track and field. Great to see all the Olympians doing well. Now you focus on Tokyo in 2020. That will be here, boy, before you know it. And, you know, on the last program, I said, bring back baseball and softball. And you know what? You know what I found out? They're bringing it back. Yeah. Boy, I was just ecstatic to see that they are bringing back baseball and softball for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Yes, way to go, IOC. Yes, I love you. I do. So get ready. Baseball is, of course, big in Japan, and no doubt about that. But they are going to be bringing it back for 2020. Glad of that, and we can get to see some other action in 4 years, no doubt. But the Olympic athletes are doing well. They did well. You know, just congratulations to pretty much everyone who participated, all the medalists, and even those who did not win. You know, you're still winners, and you still have time to maybe get back out in Tokyo. You have a better opportunity, and really feel that we had a great group of Olympians that took part, and hopefully that trend will continue in 4 years. The top five, of course, you got the United States. They had a total of 121 medals, 46 gold, 37 silver, 38 bronze. The United Kingdom was second with 67. China was third with 70. Russia was fourth with 56. And Germany was fifth with 42. So congratulations to all the countries who participated. And also, like I said, to the United States bringing home the most medals in the 2016 Summer Olympics. Now, before we go, I have to share something with you. Now, how many of you watch TV a lot? You know, do you do binge watching? You know, I know a lot of people that, you know, they'll binge watch like Game of Thrones or Power or whatever the hottest show is right now. But, you know, it's another to devour a season in one day. But Alejandro A.J. Fragoso is on a different level. In April, the 25-year-old from Brooklyn set a Guinness World Record by binge-watching shows for, get this, 94 consecutive hours. Yes, 94 consecutive hours of binge-watching television. I don't think it could have been me, no doubt. No way. He said, toward the end, my brain was struggling to comprehend a lot of what we were watching. The slower episodes with not a lot going on were easier for me to digest. It was around the beginning of the final day that I tried to watch Better Call Saul, but I was so out of it. I was having trouble piecing together what I was watching. But psychologists are split on the pros and cons of binge watching, and no long-term studies have yet been published. But everyone, including Fragoso, will probably agree 94 hours is a bit ludicrous, and I have to agree with that. Yes, it is. 94 hours, I don't think so. When he finally managed to fall asleep, he said he stayed that way for 12 hours, after which he woke up, had some food and a celebratory drink. He had beer, yeah. Then he probably went back to sleep for another 12 hours, and there was nothing on TV anyway. Yeah, after you watch 94 hours of it, I would guess not. Wow. But congratulations to him on setting a Guinness Book of World Record for binge watching a television 94 hours. Unbelievable. But hey, congratulations to him. Hey, if you can do it, go ahead and do it, right? That's going to do it for this edition of TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. Make sure that you check out Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at KevinTaylor98, and also Facebook and Twitter as I keep you updated as to what's going on in Atlanta sports and also when the next edition of TaylorMade Sports will be, all right? Never be discouraged, always encouraged. Until the next time, my friends, have a great week. I'm out.